Hello and welcome to Healing From Within, heard on webtalkradio.net. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, Reiki Energy Practitioner and author of Life is No Coincidence. Joining us today is my special guest, Dr. Charlotte A. Tomano, author of Awakening the Brain. Dr. Tomano, as a cutting-edge clinical neuropsychologist and former nun, has journeyed with people who are focused on the intent to expand their brain function, to address the need for better cognitive skills, and to use the power of spirit, faith, belief, and energy to sustain and enhance their efforts. Her experience with her spiritual community has influenced her neuropsychology work, leading her to help clients recognize that the way they think and what they believe can actually awaken the brain to achieve higher consciousness and to produce the best lifestyle. Healing From Within, as many of you know, is a radio show that welcomes people from the health and spiritual community who reveal by sharing their life experiences the wisdom of true healing and whose thoughts may help create a new passion for life that can only be known when knowledge of our energetic or spiritual essence and our physical body is combined. It is always my intention as the host of this show to help us all remember that by awakening our heart and soul, and also by using our brain and our ego existence, that we may come to know that we are indeed spiritual beings having a physical life. And it is from this merger of soul and brain function that today's show hopes to offer ways to create thoughts and actions and understandings of a higher nature while entraining the brain to develop new and dynamic ways to perceive and interact with the world. Hello, Dr. Tomano.
Hello.
Welcome. And
thank
Charlotte,
you very much.
You're very welcome. And Charlotte, also in today's episode, I hope you and I can discuss the brain structures, their functions, and the power of belief to achieve what you describe in the book as neuroplasticity, which is a pathway to change. And change is happening whether we want it or not, and we might as well hope to make changes that will benefit all. So while regulating the autonomic nervous system and staying in a positive and optimal arousal zone, you also discuss reading our brain-body compass, and by making neuro choices for wellness that you're going to help offer useful insights into how we can manage our brains for manifesting and recognizing synchronicities as the means to realize personal potential and our inner source of empowerment. Let's begin, Charlotte, with telling something about your early life as a nun and how you then went on to become a neuropsychologist, because I have found that often the road to our personal growth shows much of the process of growth and expansion itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I became a nun at a very young age, and actually I decided to do that when I was in the fifth grade.
Really?
Really, yes. It's amazing what little children experience, and that stays with them all their life. When I was in the fifth grade, I was reading a Maryknoll magazine, and I saw pictures of these two nuns in Africa, and there was a moment of inspiration, and I'm sure it had to do with what I was learning at the time about life and discovering in my own development. But I had an experience of wanting to belong to something much bigger than myself and go beyond the life I had to really contribute something. And it was a long time ago. You know, this was back in the 50s.
But you do remember that moment or that time when it became so important for you. I believe that we're born with a plan and a destiny, and we have remembrances of promises perhaps we have made and goals that our spirit wants to achieve in this physical world. And and I guess that's what you're showing by that strong commitment at that early age.
Yeah, it became a kind of touchstone for me. There, it was an experience that when I made major decisions, if it didn't feel that good, I kept looking. And so when I graduated from high school and I looked at all of my options, the thought of becoming a nun still outshone everything else. And so it was something I pursued for several years and then decided, actually, there was so much change going on in the church, and I had spent 3 years in silence, so I didn't really understand the change the world was going through in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Other people were doing different things than I was in the 60s.
All right, so you were developing your inner connection to universal spirit and energy and wisdom and information,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
That takes quite a big commitment. And what made you make a change and go into psychology, and most specifically neuropsychology, which is a fairly new field, which we'll
mm-hmm.
talk about in a little while?
Well, actually, that came along a number of years later, in the later 70s, and it really was the most hopeful message that I had seen so far. It really inspired me to, again, belong to something that was exploring our potential. I had had experiences, spiritual experiences, in the convent in those years of silence, and I always wanted to know what was going on and how did it work and what was that all about. And so my interest in what's now being called contemplative neuroscience
Uh-huh.
was there, and neuropsychology was the closest thing I could find to it. All the other forms of psychology were really looking at pathology instead of our potential to transcend our limitations, right? And so neuropsychology seemed like a very hopeful message to me, and the thought of neuroplasticity was a very hopeful message, and so I got into it right at the very beginning.
Charlotte, tell us what is neuropsychology for those people listening?
Sure. It's a subspecialty of psychology. It started in the 70s. It's a brand new field, and it bridges the gap between psychology and neurology. It specializes in understanding the unique brain function and the brain experiences that we're having that determine how we view the world, how we function in the world, how our emotions work. Neuropsychology can be a field that is helpful for children with learning difficulties, for adults as they're developing and understanding their strengths and where to go in their careers, for people who are aging that want to stay well. There's lots of different applications for it, but the primary focus is to understand that there are no two brains that are the same, and the more you understand yours, the more effective you'll be with it.
Great. That's a great description. Let's go on to the title of your book. What is an awakened brain?
I use awakening the brain as a way to describe really what I like to think of as the spirit-brain-body connection, that there's a consciousness in spirit that makes us aware of our own brain. And all of us have had these experiences where thoughts come flying through and reactions come flying through, but we are aware enough to decide whether we're going to do that, to decide whether we're going to say that, that it's a consciousness bigger than our brain that can actually observe what's going on in there and be in charge of it.
It's like, for me, the brain awakening when it recognizes and uses its own power to choose thoughts and emotions that might come from within. So it's possibly coming from the etheric or soul body. And people talk about sometimes how they observe themselves in situations, and it's actually their inner being observing. So it seems to me to be similar to that. Is that so?
Yeah, very similar. I think there is a consciousness, a life force within us that we are now able to observe ourselves, observe our bodies, observe what's going on in our heads, observe our reactions, and choose among them.
Yeah, the thoughts and the, what we will engage in and what we will take ourselves out of. So I guess an awakened brain also means living from the inside vision of life regardless of the outside circumstances. Now, many of my shows are involved with this focus, because many people have a way of blaming others for what's being created in their lives, and I know personally from many experiences that the inner reality is stronger and more real for me than the outer reality, and it has helped me to act and make choices and to create things for myself that are within the framework of what I'm here on this earth to do. And I think that's where we're going with this.
I'm absolutely in agreement with you.
All right. So
absolutely.
This thought
the thoughts
of
we have, the thoughts yeah. we have and the inner choices we have, we can shift our own experience and we can act in a way that we create the outer world.
Yeah, and if we don't think in terms of good or bad, just as experiences there for us to learn from and to move through and forward, it's like this thought of also awakening the heart or soul and remembering who we are from the point of our energetic presence, because the two for me are undeniably merged. Charlotte, let's go on to tell what neuroplasticity is. It's another technical term, but by understanding it, we do begin to understand how this all works. And how does the power of belief activate neuroplasticity and then in turn activate the brain's potential and the ability for the brain to think, to change, not to think, for the brain to actually change?
Well, that's exactly what neuroplasticity is, the adaptability of the brain and the ability to change. So neuroplasticity can work for you or against you. Neuroplasticity is the adaptability that enables certain techniques to engage the brain of a dyslexic, and over time they learn to read.
Uh-huh.
And it's the adaptability of the brain of a person who's had a stroke and can't speak, that with the right engagement in the right tasks and making effort in retraining those skills, that you see them again and now they're talking. So it's this adaptability in the brain. It's also got a downside, though. It's the adaptability in the brain that can lead us to some of our worst addictions if we get into bad habits and keep doing them. So it's very adaptable. It's very malleable. It adjusts to our repeated actions.
Yeah, the brain is like a muscle. And
it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when it's engaging specific neurons, it acts in a certain way. And if we want to change the behavior, then we've got to change some of these patterns of fear and limitation and bring in new thoughts and then new action. So this is really very powerful to understand this. Because
very powerful. And I believe that belief is a brain function. So belief,
people think it's coming from the heart or
yes.
Yeah, you know, but it, oh, I see.
One of the first things I do for patients who come in for treatment for, say, a brain injury, is I ask them if they believe that they can overcome this. And sometimes they don't know. And sometimes one of the first things I do, if that is really the first problem, is I introduce them to people who had even bigger problems that they do, and they can see for their own with their own eyes someone who has actually achieved what they weren't sure was going to happen for them. And everything changes in that moment.
You know,
when they see something really having happened, there's an ease, a possibility, and a willingness to step into the future that is the power of belief in the brain.
It will, Charlotte, yes, that is so. And it is my belief that we can heal many illnesses and many situations from the power of utilizing our brain thoughts and actions and from within our heart also. You mentioned at one time that you suffered from migraine headaches and that the doctor who treated you told you that only 11% ever got free from pain.
Yes.
And what did you decide to do when you heard that number? Because you didn't want to live with this pain.
Well, and I also didn't want to take drugs.
Right.
And he was very interested in my taking these drugs from a research study he worked on. But when he said 11% got free, all I was interested in is how did they get free?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know what they did.
And what did you find out? And what did you find out?
Well, I started asking him about that, and he said, well, there are specific therapies that help people release the muscles that are so tense, and there are all kinds of ways with exercise and diet to not let your stress level build up in the first place. And getting the right amount of sleep and actually relaxing at night before you go to sleep so that you get restful sleep. You know, he gave me a long list of what the 11% had been doing. And he thought he was just answering a question, but for me, he was pointing me in the direction of how to create my own wellness.
And you did follow through, and you did get rid of the migraines.
I have no headaches.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I changed my lifestyle. As I began to discover what had created the problem,
mm-hmm.
I decided to create the solution.
Well, you know, as a Reiki practitioner dealing with universal energy,
mm-hmm.
Part of the process that happens in a session is that new thoughts come into the people and
mm-hmm.
Who are receiving the healing energy, and they then reprogram or change or remove from the cellular level and the brain thoughts and patterns that are no longer working for them. And with visualization, bring in new thoughts that create wellness. So it's much like you just described there, a plan
yes.
for the physical body and a plan for the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is the way. You also yes. mentioned that the Canadian psychologist Donald Hubb said, the neurons of the brain that fire together, wire together. And can you tell us how repetitive thoughts, emotions, and behavior ultimately lead to automaticity, which is creating new patterns, or sadly for some people, reinforcing old ones that no longer serve them?
Mm-hmm. You're getting all the right vocabulary here. That's
well,
perfect.
We want our listeners to know the science of these thoughts, because
mm-hmm.
when spirituality and science come together, we are able to find out more about who we really are and what
mm-hmm.
life is all about.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, what happens when we repeat things over and over again is that the only one time you missed was neural network. So let me explain about a neural network first. We have these automatic networks in our brain that cause us to react in the way we've practiced. So
mm-hmm.
before we learn to drive, we are a passenger, and we don't have certain reactions that are automatic. When we first learn to drive, we're trying to figure out where to put our eyes, where to put our feet, where do we put our hands. We're thinking about it, but after a while, and nobody really notices the moment it happens, but after a while, we're talking and doing things, and our foot is automatically going on the brake.
Yeah, for some people, it takes a week. For some people, it takes a year. But eventually,
yeah.
people get to performing without thinking very much about their routines or their habits. But that can be also a challenging thing, because sometimes we're reinforcing fears and behavior that affect other
mm-hmm.
people in a negative way. So that can be reprogrammed too, and that's
right.
what this show is about, going beyond limitations and fears to reprogram a sense of health and vitality and love for self and others.
Let me go back to that example
okay.
for just one second. Your identity as a passenger changes when that automatic neural network kicks in, and you can automatically move this vehicle down the road, around the corners, and handle it successfully without having to think about every single thing. So you actually change your identity when you practice something over and over again, and automaticity, that function of the brain that trains your neural network, it gives you the automatic behavior, starts to kick in. So a nervous person who has an automatic reaction of being nervous can do all kinds of things like Reiki, like working with their energy, like massage or exercise.
Meditation.
Mm-hmm. Meditation. There's many things that will then retrain those neural networks that have that automatic reaction. And then a nervous person becomes a calm person.
Yes.
Just like a passenger becomes a driver.
Mm-hmm. I'm reminded because many people ask me the value of meditation and how to relieve stress. So I'm really reminded at this moment and amused because my husband often says to me as I leave the house for work, you have no stress. And I say, well, I'm off to my busy day to do my personalized spiritual readings and healing sessions and work on the radio show, Healing From Within, and work on my new book, Whispers from Spirit. And of course, my life is not stress-free, but practice and automaticity and the healing techniques and wisdom and tools and attitudes have allowed me to focus on my level of joy and positive interaction. And these go along with several of the Reiki principles, which are to try to be slow to anger or worry. And those are my goals, but I cannot give it to other people who, you know, see this as unattainable for them.
The power of belief. The power of belief has to be there, so you keep taking the next step to train that neural network and the next step to make it automatic the next time.
Right.
You have to believe it and keep doing it for it to kick
that's
in.
That's what this show is all about, giving people a new way to believe in what's happening in their life, to understand coincidences, synchronicity, miracles. And I think you have a story here that goes along very well with the meaning from within and synchronicities in both our physical and our spiritual life. You tell the story of a young woman, I believe her name was Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that story? Who was brought to you?
Because by her parents?
Yeah. Actually, wait, there was another story of synchronicity. When you were on the train, I think the girl...
Yes, that was Kathy.
Kathy. I think that goes along more with synchronicity and what happened there. Can you tell us what happened there? Briefly?
Sure. I have a couple of those synchronicity stories that have just been great, and quite frankly, I'm with you. I think when synchronistic events happen, that is information from a very high level of consciousness, and I always follow it. So what happened with Kathy was that I was on a train after a fabulous vacation going to Alaska, and I was taking the train from Seattle down to Portland to talk to the publisher that had invited me to write this book, Awakening the Brain. And so I was really kind of recovering from a fabulous vacation, meaning I hadn't quite got my head back into where I was going and why I was going there and what did I want to accomplish. I was still very much with the icebergs and the whales and all the magnificent things that I had seen. So I just said, I'm going to sit back and let it come. It always comes. I was believing that it would. And I just allowed myself to look out the window and remember being invited there and just unearth it again. And then there was an announcement to come for lunch. So I got up out of the car where I was seated and went to the dining car. And as I walked in, another woman walked in right at the same time, and the conductor there in the dining car seated us together. So we started to chat. And I asked her where she was going, and she said she had just finished a road trip with her daughter, and her daughter and grandchildren were continuing on, but she was taking the train home. And she spent a lot of time on the train. She had just separated from her marriage, sold her house of many years, moved into a little condo, and was trying to find her health again and trying to create a new life. And she looked exhausted and a little lost, but she seemed comfortable with me to share how much she enjoyed being with her daughter, but how nice it was to be by herself again, looking out the window and wondering where her life was going. So she asked me where I was going, and I told her that, in fact, I had been in a very similar place to her 7 years before. And my mother had made her transition after pancreatic cancer, and I was pretty exhausted myself at that point and not well. And I had this experience with a neurologist about my headaches and had made the decision to create my own wellness, and I had decided to give myself 7 years, because we know the body recreates itself in 7 years. You have a whole new body.
Yes, I'm aware of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just used that 7 years as my image for giving myself this time to do my own energy work, my own exercise, deal with my nutrition, all the things I had learned. And so Kathy said to me, "So how are you doing?" And I said, "Well, the 7 years are up." That was 2003. This is 2010. I'm really well. I work full time, and now I'm on my way to write a book. And I saw this light come in her eyes, this aha moment.
Because you gave her hope, and you also gave her a plan of action that she could begin to renew herself.
Yes,
so that so validated your story, and it also validated hers. I want to tell about another story in your book. You mentioned that the life, a book that you read, another synchronistic story called The Life and Teaching of the Masters of the Far East. And,
oh, wonderful book.
Yeah, and you had a feeling that you needed to go to India, and that it wasn't in your plan financially and maybe professionally. You couldn't do it at that moment. But when you went home, you told the story of how there was a bank account left by your mother, and when you opened the envelope, you had exactly the amount of money to go on this trip to India, where you went to the Oneness University. And I actually interviewed a woman who's going to be on my next show, Dr. Reverend Charlotte Proctor, who wrote the Oneness Gospel, and her show is airing on August 6th, and she studied there also. And I was fascinated because in that story you mentioned how you were not aware that Jesus, in his earlier days, maybe around 17, 18, actually went to the East and studied healing techniques. And I've been aware of this for a long time, and your mentioning it for me was validation and synchronicity. So I wanted to just get that in here. We have so much to cover and not that much time, but I would like to ask you, I have discovered over time that opening channels through meditation to spiritual communication helps with the right attitude for asking for help from above, and also from people who support us in life. And that's also a part of awakening our brain and our heart energy. You write a beautiful application toward this in your book. May I read this passage from your book?
Please do. Thank you.
"You have within you a deep well of spiritual strength where you can return to regulate your autonomic nervous system and stabilize your emotions. Practices like meditation, prayer, and religious rituals offer the kind of repetition that strengthens your access to your spiritual self." That thought you wrote expresses a way to find deep meaning within a person, within myself and within all people, and a way to reach higher to the divine, and information that's available for all of us if we quiet ourselves and listen. So it has been my personal knowing that by remaining in what you describe as an optimal arousal state or expansion zone, and utilizing the gifts of the brain and heart, along with the vision of an open mind and eyes, you describe them as eyes of expectancy, that we can find, people may find success and make intentions to move forward to greater love of self and others and a more productive life experience. And I believe that is your training from your religious background and your scientific background. Is that true?
Yes, I'm glad I was a nun first.
Yes. Yes, and as a little,
it gave me different eyes to see what was going on.
And as a little,
and I began to realize, well, how these spiritual practices change us physically and impact the nervous system. It's no wonder the neuroscientists studied the monks and the nuns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no wonder that you're a stress-free person, because if you're actually doing all your spiritual practice, it constantly regulates your nervous system to release your stress.
That's wonderful. And that's,
it's so healthy for us.
So that's the key to health, a good life, and a good understanding of energy both here and beyond this life. I want to thank you, Charlotte, for the extensive and fruitful search you have made to discover how our brain functions and how the brain's involvement with heart or spiritual energy or essence lead us to a clearer understanding of the uniqueness of each person and the uniqueness and different response each person has to the stimuli and events around us. Your book also suggests, as do I on each of these shows that I present, that by going within to our inner resources of innate wisdom and with faith and trust and purpose, we are able to work past limitations, injuries, and create choices that fulfill our life purpose and our destiny. For more information on Dr. Charlotte A. Tomano's new book, Awakening the Brain, go to awakeningthebrain.com. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to learn more about energy and the functions of the mind, body, and soul in alliance with universal sources that exist to aid us in the creation of a healthier and more progressive and awakened state of life and also love.